Committee.
You have some stuff to present, and I'll refer to you. Don't worry about Steak and Shake, right?
Could you come over and sit? Okay. Dr. Dennison and board, we're going to give you a update on our housing status. As Brian Kuster, who is both executive director of the Student Life Foundation and director of Housing and Resident Life, to update us.
This is the same graph I showed last year. Just took 1 year off on the left side and added a year on the right side. But as you can see, our numbers are up this year, about 95 total residents. I think the interesting thing is that's 80 returning residents up, given the fact that last year we had less number of students living on campus, and that we opened up 227 additional beds that are not a part of this number. Our on-campus returning resident number did increase by 80. The first-time applicants are up about 15 for this year. We have about 59% of our students that live on campus are female, 41 male. The with the assignments this year, we had 124 students that walked in on opening weekend to ask for an assignment. So we were able to accommodate most of those. We had 61 no-shows, and those are people that applied for housing and they did not show by the second day of classes. We are full our male spaces. We have no male spaces on campus. We just today moved the last male out of an RA room. We had RAs that had roommates. So we do have, though, a number of female spaces. And as you may have seen, we made a decision in this summer to convert the short side of Keene Hall. Keene Hall has 7 floors on one side, a common lobby, and 4 stories on the other. We converted that to female this summer so we could accommodate the number of females that were coming to campus. And I think doing that, that was 130-some beds that we moved from male to female. So that made our male numbers a little tighter. But again, after a couple weeks, we've been able now to get all of our males to permanent spaces. And again, just to remind you, we have just a little bit over 5,000 spaces on campus, not including the apartments. With the apartments, we have 227 beds, and then the facilities we just opened last month, and 70 beds in the facilities that wrap the garage. Questions about the occupancy? Julia has passed out another hand up on the next slide. I just wanted to kind of share our rates here at WKU, compare them to other schools around the state. And again, we're kind of in the middle. And this is comparing apples to apples. Double occupancy, community baths, beds. And I think this is, the lowest rent of most schools are those double occupancy community baths. This year, Murray State actually increased their fee a little higher than ours. So in the past, it's been UK, U of L, and Western. So and Moorhead has done some renovations, so they have increased theirs also. And then also, compared our housing rates with other Conference USA schools. I thought this was very interesting when you look at the schools in Conference USA where Western is at. I will say that UTEP has very few on-campus housing options for the students, but most others are pretty comparable to WKU. So I just wanted to kind of show you where WKU's stands covenant-wise.
Catherine had been at Rice at one time. Catherine, so why would Rice be at $4,500 a semester for a residence hall room? I mean, those are pretty, must be.
And free oil.
We live in colleges. We have a college master, a faculty member, and spouse who are there. They have dining facilities in their college, and they live together in a very nice environment. It's much more expensive than running a residence hall.
So that may include some food.
No, it does include food, but I'm sure it does include the salaries for the headmasters and the head of residence, because they do have the residential college system.
Okay.
This is because this, I think UK is, it seems like to me it's more than that.
This is their lowest rate. Their new facilities that are comparable to Zacharias and Merritt Hall that are suite style, two bedroom sharing a bath, are about $1,000 more. But this is their traditional double occupancy shared bath price is $2,300. But for their new buildings that they just opened are $3,600 and $3,900. So, and where we're $2,300 for the very same type. And then our apartments, where you actually have a full apartment that you all saw several months ago, that's $460 a month. So that's $4,600 for 10 months. So you could, again, I think our housing rates are an excellent option for our students here in the, compared to other schools across the state. And again, we've talked about it before, but with where our facilities are at compared to other facilities across their state and region and even the conference.
How would the rates? All of ours have been renovated and are in really comparably excellent condition.
And we're carrying our own debt and our own profits to go back into them.
What about the new system there on between Center and Kentucky, I guess? The commercial.
The private developer.
The private developer. Yeah. How will that stack up to our pricing?
They have not announced what their price is. They do have a website that has, you can go on and sign up and look at leases, but they have not started leasing yet. But we do not know what their cost will be.
The competition will be for upper division and graduate students who volunteer to live in our residence halls. It won't affect freshmen and sophomores because they're required to live by policy, but the competition variable will come into play for returning students at the junior level and above.
And, of the 227 new students in the apartments, about 100 of those are students that did live off campus and came back to campus. So that there are students that were living. And I think, again, what we're offering is different than what other private developers are offering that are marketing to college students. We're offering two-bedroom units with two students living there, or one-bedroom unit with one student living there. Most other have at least three bedrooms with three students or four bedrooms with four students. So, again, we purposely design something that has, I think, a little more attractive to students and will be attractive in the future.
As we view and review the communities around campus, we're seeing a lot more available housing than what we normally would see in August and September within easy walking distance of campus. The High Street, Park Street, Cabell, you're still seeing for rent signs in those areas. So the student housing market is on a bubble right now, and we feel comfortable that we've kept our rates and the quality high and the rates low. So we feel that we're in good shape.
And that's one of the things that we're collecting now is working with other apartments to see, you know, what are their occupancy rates compared to ours.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. So, Ann, there is a meal plan item in here. I didn't know if you were prepared to talk about that, but on page 3 under the student affairs report.
I was going to let Gary Mazzaros.
Oh, Gary is here. Oh, excuse me. I didn't see over there, Gary. I'm sorry.
Back in the back door.
Gary Mazzaros directs our auxiliary operations.
As you can see, there's a lot to highlight here, actually, in this little bit of information. The mandatory students are those freshmen living in residence hall. And because of the combination of freshmen, we actually went down slightly this year. As Brian said, they actually have more upperclassmen living on campus. So even though we went down 13 mandatory, we went up 295 voluntary meal plans. So to us, that speaks a little bit of the quality and the value of the plan, that people are not required to be on it, but they are choosing nonetheless. So our meal plan, the value, the pricing, I didn't come prepared to talk about pricing, and I can bring that next time if you want, compared to the rest of the state. We are very low compared to the rest of the state, maybe the second lowest.
If you have it, that would be, that'd be helpful to keep tracking. In the transition year, while the student union was being renovated, and we had that building that used to be out there,
the Taco Cafe, yes.
It looks like we fared just fine over that transition year. We didn't lose too many, and we were able to gain whatever we may have lost in that year of transition with our food service operations. Is that your assessment?
Yes, very true. We the Topper Cafe worked out very well for the students. We had enough space, and it really didn't hurt the thing. Our student region can help us maybe on that too, as far as the quality of you know, Chick-fil-A and things like that. And then I think we did a pretty good sales job explaining what was coming this year, which was Steak and Shake, which opened this morning at 10:30, and it was overwhelming. They had a crowd of over 100 people, I think, waiting to get be the first in line. So that went real well. We opened another new concept called Burrito Bowl, which addressed some of the students' questions on healthy eating, international type choices, and things like that. So that's also open. So we're doing real well with that one. Red Zone's just about done with construction. We still have some TVs, 41 TVs in there. We're working on some of the connections and stuff on that, and overflowing the night class. So we're just on a very positive note right now, and we're hearing very good things from the students as far as I think we're on the right track there. I also handle parking, and we're not doing as well there, but that's for another day. But we're very happy, and I don't know if Nikki would like to comment on our food service.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to say the only complaint I think I ever heard from students about the Topper Cafe was that I believe it was called the Topper Grill, didn't serve chicken strips anymore, and that's because of a contractual obligation with Chick-fil-A and how close they were. But other than that, you know, students were fine with the quality. Whenever I ate there, I was always served very quickly, always had a good quality with the food. I know students are very excited about the new things we have. I know a lot of people have recommended the Burrito Bowl.
That's good.
To me.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And so not only is it a good, to kind of just for spacing wise, it's across from Starbucks, so I know it kind of spaces out the crowd during the lunch rush, but it is the healthy option. You have option to get anything vegetarian, which is good for international students and those, and any, I think, meal you can choose to get chicken, beef, or pork. So just another thing when we're considering the increase in our international students. So, and that's not just me saying that. I mean, the long lines show that it's also students are latching onto it as well.
Yeah, it's cooked right before your own eyes, and they serve each person in about a minute each. So we don't have capacity to go any faster than we're yeah. going right now. And so we're happy with that. And then the chicken tenders are back at the red zone. We're happy now.
Poultry riot.
We're looking forward to a great year.
I would suggest that we...
You have compared meal plans. I don't know.
Is that in the material?
Yes, no. And it's something that that Gary sent us with their...
Is it on the back?
On the back.
Yeah, okay.
Annual meal plan.
I sent that out a couple weeks ago, yes, okay.
Yeah.
And, here it is.
I mean, it's just really interesting that WKU is 2,274, UK is 2,650, Louisville 2,900, and everything else is over $3,000. All the other, which I guess comparing apples to apples may be difficult.
Well, yeah, and that's been an issue all my career, I guess. The good news is we actually have more quality, we think, of more choices than any other program because we try to monitor that all the time. We provide a concept called value meals where you can go to Chick-fil-A as a student, you should be using your meal plan and get a chicken sandwich, a fry, and a drink. Most of the other schools don't allow you to do that. They want you to eat just at the large, all-you-can-eat type facility like we have at Fresh Food Company. Our students can go to Steak and Shake and get a double cheeseburger, fries, and drink. They can go to Burrito Bowl. They can go to Da Vinci. There's places all over campus you can go. And so we think we compare both quality-wise and price-wise for sure. And partly we've had a contract with Aramark where we don't allow them to raise it more than 3% per year unless there's a change in inflation, food costs, and things like that. And that's been to our... helps our success, and long term we're both making money, which is another thing you want to do in this business. I've been at other schools where the food service doesn't make money. The people who end up suffering are the students because they're going to cut their costs, cut their hours, do everything like that. So if Aramark was here, I think they would say they're happy with the contract. We're very happy with the contract, and
it's about a $20 million a year enterprise. Our food operations.
When I came here originally in 92, it was a $2 million operation. So to Dr. Renzo's credit, he allows us to reinvest our surpluses into the program, and it just keeps growing and growing upon itself. And so that's not always true at other schools. Sometimes they take that money away and use it for other sources, but it's enabled us to have a very good program, a very robust program.
If I might suggest, you mentioned the parking, perhaps at our next committee meeting in December. I think that is our next committee meeting, is it not?
Yes, it is.
The semester will pretty well have run its course. Come back with a parking assessment. I know we've had some issues. I think we have a number of students who brought six cars with them this semester.
It feels like that. Yeah, I think housing is encouraging that.
We've had some real parking pressures this semester that I know that you and Jennifer Tugas have really worked hard to try to work your way through. But Nikki, I would suggest that would be an important something for us to continue to track. And so when
we're
December committee meeting,
we already
come back and show us the problems and the data that led to the pressures and the solutions and what you would project going forward into the spring semester, if you'll do that at the December committee meeting, please.
And you should have that lot back at Creason. I mean, you should have all of that construction at McNeil School will be done.
Yeah, the biggest pressure is about the first 3 months of the fall semester, and people start changing out a little bit, leaving their cars at home, finding other places to park, and the pressure goes away. So spring semester is not going to be the same issues that we have right now.
And there certainly seems to be, I mean, about a week ago, people stopped walking in late. I mean, they're starting to park at South Campus and take the bus in, and you know, they realize this guy's not going to fall if they do that. So I haven't had anybody come in late in, I think, probably about a week and a half claiming it was about parking.
They find a way. They find places. And I still see empty spaces on the top floor of the parking garage on Kentucky
spaces.
Street, the Kentucky and Kentucky Street. just because you can see that top level when you come over the top of College Heights Boulevard. And
right. There's empty spaces in the Alumni Square Garage. We have over 200 spaces available on the South Campus where they can ride the bus every six minutes to brought back here. So we do have a solution. It might not be the most perfect solution, but we
can send them to the TIF district. They don't charge anything for parking.
Downtown.
Yes. No, that is an option for them, but there's not.
I can park down there for free.
We've already done some talk. We can bring that up at the next meeting. We'll give you an update on where we stand on that.
It's free. Yeah, anybody can park down there all the time. Free.
Get a bike, right?
Yeah.
You don't start.
Thank you, Gary.
That concludes student fair. I move for a break.
That wasn't on the
that wasn't. You're going to get a long one.
I'll entertain a motion to dismiss the meeting.
So moved.
Second. Remind you, we'll see you back here at least October 31, not before.
October 30, did we wear costumes or did we just come and rip? I mean, you know, how.